Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is Tuesday, May 27th. Well, pretty momentous day in the markets in here today. Well, gold pulled back very sharply. It has been trading in this what has been a triangular pattern for much of the last month, and it means that the lows have been falling, but the highs have been falling, creating a triangular pattern. Well, generally speaking, when you see one of those, you're going to get an emphatic breakout in one direction or the other. Well, until today, one could have argued that that breakout was going to be to the upside, but, well, gold fell today by $27, almost $28. It's down at $1,264. Well, the lower side of the range that's been developing over the last year is just a little bit south of $1,200, and today's downward break increases the possibility that that level is going to be retested. Well, there's a lot of people calling for $1,000 gold. Their case has been bolstered somewhat by today's action, and a clear upward dynamic is really going to be required to countermand the short-term bearish outlook here. Well, it wasn't a particularly pleasant day for many of the commodities. A number of the grains and beans were also in negative territory, and soybeans was lower by 26 cents, so it's back below the 1500 cent area. And both with sugar and coffee were both in negative territory here as well. The industrial metals, however, were reasonably quiet, and palladium, which has been the relative strength leader in the commodity sector, was in mildly positive territory. Well, the fireworks weren't confined to the commodity sector. In the stock market in here today, the S&P 500 moved to an all-time new high. It was up 11 and a bit, and it takes it above 1900 and a close above that level for the first time. Well, some people will be looking at the very low level that the VIX is at right now. The VIX is currently testing its low from 2013, and the all-time low that was posted in 2007 really isn't that far away. Well, some people will be looking at that and saying, well, with volatility so remarkably low, the potential for volatility to increase is probably the base case scenario. Well, if we look at what happened last year, then it hit a low, but it mostly ranged before heading up in the middle of last year. So there is the potential for some ranging in here, while the potential for significant additional lows in volatility are pretty unlikely. Well, some people are going to be looking at the S&P and thinking, well, it's gone through 1900, it's been consolidating there for a while, so why not let's see this push up to 2000? Well, 2000 is a pretty big psychological level, and some people will certainly be looking to see whether it's going to test that level or not. So despite the fact that there is a mildly short-term overbought condition on the index, well, you'd really need a clear downward dynamic now to check the advance. Well, the relative strength that you're seeing in Wall Street is to an extent being mirrored by a number of the European indices. The FTSE 100 is firming in the region of 6,800. It's within striking distance of its all-time high. And, well, this has been a pretty shallow consolidation following the downward dynamic that we saw about 10 days ago. Well, the DAX index is extending its advance to new all-time highs, and it's closing in on the psychological 10,000 area. The Italian index, having bounced really rather emphatically on Friday, was a little bit softer in here today, but generally speaking, if one looks at, for example, the wider Euro stocks index, then the pattern of outperformance is still very much intact, and it does look like that we're going to see the Euro stocks index breaking up out of what has been a couple of month range. Well, provided that index continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, we can give it the upside, the benefit of the doubt. Well, it was a pretty mixed performance for a number of the emerging markets in here today. Well, the Brazilian index was down a bit less than 1.5%. The Hang Seng was relatively unchanged. Well, the Nikkei was up by about 0.25%. But, pretty impressive bounce that we've had is looking a little bit tired. Well, India, having surged following the news that Mr. Modi is going to be the new Prime Minister, has been pausing. It's held on to its gains, but it hasn't really been able to advance beyond that. Well, what we're seeing now is a little bit of consolidation. We've had for many, it was a surprise electoral outcome. Well, that's been priced in at this stage, and now people are waiting to see exactly what the legislative agenda is going to be in India. I think there's still reason to be enthusiastic about exactly what Mr. Modi can achieve. Well, the Chinese market couldn't be more different. People are waiting for a catalyst. The index is largely range-bound on the mainland. The banking sector in Hong Kong is doing substantially better than the banking sector on the mainland. And if one looks at the property sector, well then, one would be hard-pressed for evidence that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Certainly, there is base formation characteristics, but what we really need is some form of catalyst. Well, the kind of catalyst that could be required would be that the central government starts to buy back shares. If you think about the role that share buybacks have had in supporting the bull market on Wall Street, well, then we know exactly just how powerful that can be. Well, the euro was a bit weaker in here today, so was the pound. Well, the dollar index has been rallying rather impressively the last week, and much of the reason for that is because the euro has been pulling back. Well, the result of the European elections in Europe means that the Eurosceptic caucus is going to have a much bigger say in the European Parliament. Of course, the European Parliament isn't exactly where all the decisions get made, and it doesn't have the power to initiate legislation. The Council of Ministers and the European Commission are really where the rubber meets the road in terms of the agenda. So it's perhaps not so surprising that, considering just how much fiscal consolidation, unemployment, and really a depressive economic state, that you have this much larger Eurosceptic crowd in the European Parliament, that's probably going to have more of an impact on domestic political life rather than the European project more generally. What it does, though, is advance the possibility that the ECB is going to initiate additional easing at its June 5th meeting. That when you look at this protest vote, well, really what people are voting against is the fiscal consolidation that's been imposed upon them by faceless bureaucrats in Frankfurt and in Brussels, and people are very much opposed to that. So, well, that means that we're going to see some additional easing for the euro. Well, we're not seeing the same impetus for easing in the US, and that suggests that we're going to see the euro get a little bit weaker in here. It is right back in the region of the 200-day moving average. There is potential for a little bit of steadying, but considering just how in need of additional stimulus the eurozone is, then the potential for firming is likely to be pretty limited. Well, if we take a little bit of a step back, then, generally speaking, developed stock markets continue to do reasonably well. And, there is a certain amount of political instability in a number of the emerging markets, and, well, that's being reflected in greater volatility there. But also the fact that, well, we don't have the same confidence in the performance of emerging market currencies now that we had perhaps a year ago, that people are beginning to price in the fact that we're going to have greater currency variability, and that puts an additional premium on investing in emerging markets. Well, that's at least part of the reason you've got this relative strength in Wall Street in particular. Well, we talked about volatility earlier, but also the strength that you're getting in government bonds is definitely notable. Well, the long bond was stronger today by about a half a full point. It's continuing to sustain the breakout from what has been really a 6 to 9 month range. Well, there's been a great deal of demand for longer dated treasuries. Mohammed Alarian was writing today and saying that part of the reason for that was short covering, plain and simple, but also that asset managers who had positioned themselves for rising yields hadn't really seen that. and that they had built up cash which had to be put to work, and that they had to buy long-dated issues in order to meet their obligations. So you've definitely had some short covering in there, and that persists. Well, the short covering is a short-term factor. Well, the fact that people are still unsure about the wider economy is an additional factor, but increased demand for government bonds and an improving stock market in tandem suggests that investors are betting that we're going to be in a liquidity-driven environment for a while longer. And with the ECB about to move into easing and the Bank of Japan still very much in easing, there is certainly something to be said about that argument. There is no shortage of liquidity on a global basis, even though the Fed might be tapering its advance or its infusions of additional capital. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for the afternoon and wish all the best to all of you.